This is a journey into sound.
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
The truth lives right here, Houston.
On this day, I see clearly.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
All right, good evening, everybody. How we doing, good people? Area 45 with you. Brand new week. I'm Sean Bajani. He is Patrick Creighton. Chris Santiago's here. Say hello. That is our badass producer getting us ready for Texans training camp week. And also a week in which the Astros will not be ass, I'm hoping.
So this is the sixth day in a row that we are a whole show.
Don't screw it up, dude.
6 days in a row.
Don't screw it up. We could have 7, 8, 9. We could have 10.
10.
Are we going to have 11?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. Unless you decide to be a big baller and chunk deuce on Friday and be like, man, go make me some real money.
Well, there are other things. You might decide, bleep this. And you know, Chris might have to go be Tyler because maybe Tyler decided that the Tookus was overactive.
Can I tell you something? I would not, and I am not going to decide, bleep this under any circumstances, except for one. If I happen to buy a lottery ticket this week and I happen to win.
Don't poop on my desk.
I will not say bleep this. I will be here.
Can I get a little bit of that money?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. He can give you $10.
Thank you.
Dependent upon the size of the lottery winnings, this show will cease to exist.
Good, good, good. Because I was just like, man, if he wins it and he gives us nothing, imagine.
Or
would it be worse if he won and he gave you $10?
Honestly, yeah. Yeah, I'd be pretty mad. It'd be like $10 out of the millions that you won. That's
the
all
millions.
I need.
Like and millions.
Got you a dollar.
So close.
Got to be quicker than that.
Got to be quicker.
Bajani wins like $833 million. Hey, guys. Hey, here, I brought you lunch. See you later.
Finally, you bring us lunch. What's the occasion? Oh, I won the lottery.
I won the lottery and I'm out.
And you know what? I might just bring you lunch and then just not stay and do the show. That would be some stuff,
what'd
right?
You bring us for Wendy? What'd you bring us for lunch? Biggie bags from Wendy's.
No. I would bring you a feast. I would bring you a feast.
So the $8 junior bacon cheeseburger meal from Wendy's.
I would bring you the HEB barbecue that you've been longing for that I've been promising. I would bring you the chicken parm po' boy from Mandola's.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
And whatever else you wanted. And you know what? Just for S's and G's, I would bring you your favorite of all times. The meal that PC would have to have on his deathbed, like last meal ever. Boneless chicken wings from B-Dubs. That's what I would give you.
Oh, definitely not.
Come on. What are you talking about?
I mean,
you live and die for that place.
Yeah, no, I do not.
Every time you want to have a get together. Hey, what do you think about B-Dubs?
You know why?
Boneless wings.
It is literally 4 minutes up the road.
And
that's with traffic.
And on a particular day, they have.
Oh, and they have BOGOs.
Yeah, they have BOGOs. Buy one,
You know me. I am down with the discount.
Yeah, I know you are. So am I. But it's discounted because they don't have bones in the wings. They're like, get rid of these. Nobody eats these. Nobody wants these.
Hey, I
like PC, that guy does.
I like my chicken nuggy in sauce.
Oh, man. I hope you had a fun weekend, everybody. Your weekend was filled with the glorious things that go with buying a new house, opening boxes.
Opening a lot of boxes.
Moving things all over the house.
Multiple trips to the depot.
Yeah.
Couple of trips to Ace.
Were they the helpful hardware place?
They are, actually. Okay. Shout out to Steve.
Steve!
Steve is a older gentleman from Katy. Originally from Tennessee, who worked in a Mercedes dealership in the service department for over 34 years, retired, now he works at Ace. And he was kind enough to direct me to everything that I needed so I didn't have to hunt and peck and find things in the aisles. He said, follow me. And he walked me right around to everything exactly where I needed to go. He cut at least 45 minutes off my trip every time.
That's awesome.
So appreciate him. And let's see, we had a trip to Sam's Club. We had two trips to Sam's Club, a trip to Kroger, and a trip to HEB.
Oh, my goodness. Why?
Because
that's why they invented Sam's, so you could just go there.
Yeah, but
and not everywhere
there
else.
There are things at Sam's that are just too damn big. Like, we're not going to use that much.
I mean, you will over time.
No.
Maybe not before it expires, but you will over time.
See, that's it. Is it's just, there's too damn much of it. And sometimes I just need a smaller sample size.
Yeah.
Right? So we did a lot of shopping. A lot of this had to do with the fact that really since the middle of May, mm-hmm. I kind of just stopped buying anything because like we're going to move. I'm not buying things so that we could move it.
Nah, yeah, you start purging instead.
So
get what you need on the go, and that's it.
We moved into the house with literally an empty fridge and an empty pantry. And as we unpacked things, the mother of children decided, I want a new one of these, Chuck. I want a new one of these, Chuck. You know, I want to get some of this. Goes on to Amazon, top. Ping. Oh, that, yeah. Honey, what just hit my credit card from Amazon?
How many times did you ask that question over the weekend?
Many, many times.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. We've been in our house for 13 years now. 13 years this past March. And I remember, like it was yesterday, moving in, and no lie, dude. I mean, granted, we're young. We didn't have kids. We didn't have stuff. We were settled because, one, me and my wife are uber OCD, and just stuff has to be put up. We were settled after maybe a half day.
You were also in your 20s.
Yeah, we were in our 20s. We had a lot of energy. We were excited, all that good stuff.
20s right? And no kids.
But I remember not having anything in my house, and it was awesome. Like, I didn't want to make a hole in the sheetrock. Like, I didn't want to hang a picture. I didn't want to do anything. And my wife was like, yeah, me neither. Like, we had TV, refrigerator, like, I could count on one hand how many things we had plugged into the new house. And
so you
now,
basically had a whole house set up like an apartment.
Absolutely. Like a bachelor's apartment, right? And it was the coolest thing. It was me, my wife, and my dog. That was it. Super easy. Now, oh my God. Like I want to be like your wife. But I don't want a new one of these. I don't want this. I want to throw everything.
Oh, there was a lot of that too.
I want to throw everything away.
There was a lot of things getting chucked in the you-know-what bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
I did get my my large autograph poster of Elvin Mathay up.
Nice.
So that's important. I started to get some of my memorabilia up.
Now, was that autographed in person? Like, yeah. Did you actually get that?
Oh, well, no, actually, it was given to me.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have one of Patrick Ewing that's up, and I have a handful that still need to go up. Shaq, Giannis, Denny Potvin, Doc Gooden.
You need to work some Olajuwon in your life. What's going on?
I don't have an Olajuwon.
Well, you could trade the Ewing in. Well, actually, you could just throw the Ewing away. And
like,
then
no, you just put the Olajuwon above the Ewing because, like,
yeah,
this guy owned that guy.
It's like the family tree. Olajuwon, the daddy, and then Ewing.
The
baby. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So I have some of the things up. I've got my my autographed picture of Gil Hodges is up.
Oh, that's awesome. Good
I have,
job by you.
I have some, a lot of the memorabilia that I used to have, I didn't have any room for it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have like a dozen Warren Moon autograph stuff. And I used to give them away at events because I had so many of them. I had autographed Oilers helmets, Earl Campbell helmets, Earl Campbell jerseys.
You're just giving this stuff away?
And, yeah, I used to give them away at events. So, like, when I would do a remote event, I would give away, give away a jersey. Like, we'd have some kind of big event, and that person would get a jersey.
Did your wife drug you?
She did want me to get rid of all this stuff. You understand? Like I had an entire room just filled of stuff. That was in boxes and bags and just stacked up on the floor. I didn't have anywhere to put any of it. And she's like, can we get rid of this? I'm like, no. She's like, can we get rid of this? So it just became a, can we get rid of this
so
many times.
She brainwashed you, yeah.
Until I started getting rid of stuff.
You have Stockholm Syndrome. That's exactly what you have.
Yeah, right?
You have.
So I still have some things. I just don't have anywhere near as much as I used to because I don't have the... now I don't even have the wall space to put it up.
Yeah,
but, yeah. But, yeah, I still have a lot of jerseys that aren't even in the shadow boxes yet.
I bet you have more hockey jerseys than anything.
No, actually, the only one I have left is Dennis Potvin.
Dennis
Potvin. Only one I have left.
I'm guessing.
He was the captain of the Dynasty Islanders.
I was going to say, it had to be an Islander. You need to make that happen, man.
Hall of Famer. Probably a top five all-time defenseman.
Yeah? Is it autographed or no? Yeah.
Oh, dude, you need like the...
I need a shadow box for it.
Yeah, the shadow box. I got one from Doc Gooden that has like all his accomplishments on the jersey and everything.
This should be your whole house.
Yeah.
It should be the sports museum of Creighton.
I got a Giannis when he won his first MVP. I got a dirt cheap too. I got it for like $40.
Hold on to that one. He might be a rocket in a few
years.
One
day.
Who knows?
So
when does his contract expire again? Is it at the end of this next season?
it's coming soon, right? Well, actually, yeah. It wouldn't even matter because in the NBA, you could have a full contract. Like, I want out. There's nothing they can do. They got to trade you.
Facts.
And then I have a Shaquille O'Neal Magic jersey. So the original.
When he got swept by the Rockets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that era jersey.
That was cool. Now, I liked it better on Penny Hardaway instead of Shaq. Those were really legit, man. I feel like those uniforms, like that era in the NBA, like when did they come around and start wearing those? Was that like mid-90s?
Yeah.
They were like 4 years in, right? Wasn't that club like 4 years in when they made the finals? They weren't around for very long.
No, because they had gotten back-to-back number one picks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there you go.
And they took Chris Webber and they traded him to get Penny Hardaway.
No! It was pretty good, just, you know, staying power. No, it's pretty good. Like, that era of the NBA, though, like, with the uniforms, like, that
Zubas.
Really signaled a shift, man. And I miss those. They stepped outside of everybody's comfort zone with those unis, man, and I really liked it.
You used to have the Zubas for the NFL, for the NBA, all the different, like, the weird stripes going around and everything. Yeah. Yeah, usually, all kinds of.
Yeah.
The 90s NBA had some... Had some funky fashion.
It was the best.
Funky fashion.
It was just the best all around. It was the best. All right. Hey, be a part of the show tonight, man. You can hit us up, call or text 713-572-4610. 572-4610.
I have a boxing glove from Pacquiao Broner.
I don't know who Broner is.
Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner, once upon a time.
They fought Pacquiao and Broner? Fought?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once upon a time, Adrian Broner was an up-and-coming fighter.
Uh-huh.
And then he...
Got his ass kicked by Pacquiao?
He did, but not only did he get his ass kicked by Pacquiao, but then after the fight, he's like, I totally won the fight. I don't know how. I can't believe anybody didn't think I won that fight. Mm. And the crowd isn't even booing. They're laughing at him.
He's saying this on the mic.
Yeah, full house in Vegas, and the crowd is just laughing at him because he went nuts. He went nuts.
Wow.
And it sabotaged his career. He lost his mind.
That is wild. Yeah, Pacquiao literally knocked him loopy. Though, like, one more shot, and it wouldn't have been even a conversation, because gets that 10 count and doesn't get up, then there's no question who won the fight.
I found, like, 4 Atlantic League championship rings from the Sugar Land Skeeters.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I found
some. What do you mean you found them?
They were packed in boxes. It's like... I got all this stuff that was just packed in boxes.
You just got grab bags going on at your place, man.
I have a...
Close your eyes, stick your hand in. You never know what you're going to come out with.
I have a black baseball autographed in gold marker by Doc Gooden.
That's pretty cool.
It looks really cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I could dig that, man. You need to find Daryl Strawberry somewhere and have him autograph the other side of that.
That makes it go down in value.
No. Well, you going to sell it? No, you're going to keep it.
Doesn't matter. It makes it go down in value. One day.
I would want those two guys.
I am going to leave this plane. And when it does, and my son takes a hold of all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he's got no interest in it at all.
He's going to sell it for a new badass computer.
And I want him to get the maximum return on it.
Well, you know, those things, you know this, sports memorabilia is regional. You'll find some... Or he'll find some Uber Met fan up east somewhere.
Somewhere on both the E and the Bay.
They will pay whatever you're asking for it. That will exist. I think about that all the time, like all that old memorabilia. Like, you know, you're you, like, but when you are 80, 90 years old, and then that generation, you know, is coming up that you're, when your son's your age, basically, how much is all this stuff going to be worth then? I mean, we're going to be talking about some of the baseball stuff that will then be like 90, 100 years old.
You know, like,
that's going to be crazy expensive.
I had gotten my son a personalized autograph from Art Shamsky from the 69 Mets World Championship team.
Mm.
And I found it. It's addressed to him. We found it in a box.
Shocking.
But
at least you found it.
The idea of like that, say, for example, the Gil Hodges autograph that I have.
Mm-hmm.
One day that's going to be worth a fortune because there's not going to be any surviving left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for guys who signed a ton of stuff, like Pete Rose stuff isn't worth a whole lot because he signed anything and everything for 40 years.
Yeah.
But guys who didn't sign a ton of stuff or stuff that's older and now is not, you can't find it.
Yeah.
The rarity makes it more expensive.
I got a question for you. You just got me thinking, like the rarity. You're talking about like Gil Hodges. Like there's probably plenty of surviving members that he either played with or against. My grandfather, when he played for the St. Louis Browns in the 40s, the last St. Louis Brown ever, the last one ever, just passed away about a week and a half ago, Billy Hunter. And 2 weeks prior to that, the second to last one, Ed Mickelson passed away. There was two, and then now there's none. There is not one player that played a single solitary day for the old St. Louis Browns, which is currently the Baltimore Orioles, left walking on the face of this earth. That's pretty wild. I wonder, you know, for an organization that actually still exists, not like has undergone a name change or anything, but what will be that first organization that literally has no surviving members of it left, you know, from the 50s and in the 60s and in the 70s? That's going to be pretty wild. And at some point in time, when your son's your age, we're going to be talking about like surviving members from like the 70s, like guys that you grew up watching. That's going to be insane.
Man, so the Gil Hodges, the Duke Snider autographs that I have.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are, I mean, you think about, you go back to the like 50s and early 60s Dodgers. Those guys aren't here anymore.
No, getting close. They probably got another 15 years in them, maybe. Maxing out at 20. Sorry to put that on him, but, you know, just being realistic.
I mean,
just
Sandy Koufax is going to be 90 years old.
That is insane. Yeah. Yeah. He is. He has spent 2/3 of his lifetime not playing baseball. He didn't retire at 30, but he retired early, didn't he? He retired didn't he retire like at 33 or something like that?
Yeah, he retired early.
He had a very short career.
He couldn't move his arm anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they didn't have the kind of medical they have now. He retired at 30 years old, 12 years in.
Man, if only the Dodgers back in the day had like the Astros team doctors.
He can't straighten his arm. His left arm, he can't straighten it.
Yeah, it's a little crooked. A little crick in it. All right, Area 45 going to roll along. We have a lot to kind of get to and recap. It was a weird weekend with the Astros, though we do have, I think, some positive updates. They don't get started until about an hour and 20 minutes. They're in Arizona tonight. Return for Christian Walker there. And I think we should be encouraged by this. Christian Walker, you know, it's silent, but... maybe soon deadly? To be deadly. Silent, but yet soon to be deadly. We will cover all of that next. It's Area 45.
SBD.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
Sean Bijani, Patrick Creighton. That is me, and he is him. Chris Santiago along as well. Hit us up if you'd like to be a part of the show. 713-572-4610.
The answer is 33 miles.
33 miles.
That's the distance between where the Ravens play and where the Commies play.
Yeah. We'll talk about them a little bit later on. But I was curious because I saw scrolling through Twitter a Stephen A. Smith take that just had him talking about how the Ravens and Commandos could maybe share a stadium one day. And I was like, I don't know how I feel
about
that.
How
about no? Who does that? It's the Giants.
It's the J-E-S-T.
And the Jets.
And
yeah.
The giant mess.
Yeah. Whose building is that, really? Whose building is it? Can anybody claim that up there?
It's more Giants building than Jets building because the original was Giants Stadium.
Yeah.
When the Giants were trying to get a new building from New York City in the early and mid-70s, and the governor of New York told them to take a hike.
Mm-hmm.
So the Giants got a deal with New Jersey to build them a stadium, what was going to be the new Meadowlands Sports Complex. They spent a couple of years playing in the decrepit Yale Bowl in Connecticut and then moved to Giant Stadium while the Jets still played at Shea, because the Giants used to play at Yankee Stadium, and when Yankee Stadium was going to be renovated, they had nowhere to go.
Jets played at Shea?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Giants played at Yankee Stadium. And the Jets played at Shea through a good portion of the 80s before they eventually joined the Giants in Giants Stadium.
Yeah.
And then when they tore that building down and built the new one, they weren't going to have a single team.
Man.
They got Metropolitan Life Insurance to sponsor it. Hence, it's the Snoopy Bowl.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of like new digs, man, the Cougs move into their new digs, I think, here in the next week or so. You saw pictures of this?
Yeah.
Their new
training facility.
Training facility and football offices. Holy crap.
It is not ass.
Not ass. Shout out U of H. Go Cougs. Man, big ballers. You can see why they're getting all the 4 stars into 5 stars now, huh?
Let's go. And that's the thing. Everybody who goes to school, they're looking at the facilities.
Yeah.
What do the facilities look like?
That's all you ever heard about, like, 10, 15 years ago, Oregon, you know, with their partnership in Nike. And it's like, oh, you know, the facilities in Oregon are just like blowing everybody out of the water. And then, you know, when's that money going to come trickling on down? And now everybody's got the money.
So you remember when Jimbo Fisher left Florida State to go to A&M?
Mm-hmm.
One of his biggest gripes was that they had not updated their facilities in a really long time. One of his other biggest gripes was that they wouldn't let him pay his assistants what they should be paid, because they were paying previous assistants. It was still on the books.
Yeah,
previous coaches were still on the books. Like, no, we're not spending that money because we're still paying this other money. It's like, that's not my problem.
Right.
You want top kids in here. This is what I need. I need to be able to pay my coaches what other top coaches are getting paid. I need to be able to have a top facility that other top programs have. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to keep bringing kids in here.
Mm-hmm.
And they told him to take a hike, so we did. He went to A&M.
Yeah.
Where they gave him
all
the top facilities, and he just couldn't find a quarterback.
Cult. 713-572-4610. Let's get out to Derwin. Derwin's calling early tonight. Let's see what's up with him. What's up, Derwin?
Hey, finally, football is coming back to Houston, fellas. How y'all doing?
Man, pumped up,
what are you
up,
talking
dude?
About, man? The UFL season just ended like a month ago.
What?
Hey, I'm talking Houston Texans, baby. You know how I get down. But hey, I got a bandwagon for y'all, and then I've got a just an appreciation, man, for what the Astros have done for us, man. Because I've always called October Astrober, and because we've owned it, you know, in October.
Yeah.
And man, when you look at, I was just putting together the people that we've actually lost that were like high value, like really good players. You could almost start a full baseball team, like in field. You got center field and Springer. You've got shortstop with Correa. Now you got a third baseman with Bregman gone. Like they have let some really good talent go, and for them to still be doing what they're doing, man, I'm excited and just grateful. You know, as one of the people that were during that, you know, 100 lost seasons and stuff like that. That's been crazy, man. But here's my bandwagon nomination. Is the Phoenix Suns the Cleveland Browns for the Houston Rockets? Now, hear me out on this.
Ooh.
The Cleveland Browns have done so much for us to have a really good quarterback, right? And it started with them taking Weiler off of our team, right? That was the first thing that really they kind of stepped in, and then they passed on Deshaun Watson to go ahead and get Manziel, right? So then we got Deshaun Watson, and we all know three massages and a couple of happy endings later, whatever. But I think the Houston Texans got the best of Deshaun Watson. And then when you look at all the quarterbacks that they've had since 2017 versus the ones that they helped us get, because in turn they helped us get Deshaun Watson, they helped us get rid of Deshaun Watson, and then they helped us get C.J. Stroud.
Darwin, say no more, man. Like,
yeah. They've done so much for us. And then I started looking at the Phoenix Suns. It started with, I think, was the worst trade ever, which was giving up all of those players to get Charles Barkley, right? And then when you look at how between what we did to get Durant and their involvement in getting rid of all the other people, like, is there any other team that's helped another team any better? And I'm just excited to be where we are, man. Excited about this season, what we're about to do, the pieces we've added. I saw that C.J. Gardner interview, man, and that guy has so much heart that I think he's going to bring to that secondary, and it's just going to be a whole nother aura of that defense, which was already crazy. And then when you add the yeah. pieces to C.J., man, I'm just very excited about that. But just wanted to throw that out, fellas, and I appreciate you guys.
I appreciate you. You threw a lot out there. There's a lot to gnaw off of that bone, but I don't know. He didn't need to say much more about, like, you know, his analogy or the Suns to the Rockets like the Browns have been for the Texans. I could get on that bandwagon. It's just, you know, the badass that you got from the Suns, a little bit older than, you know, the pick that you used to be able to get C.J. Stroud and that whole thing. But ultimately, both Kevin Durant, C.J. Stroud could turn those opportunities into championships. And that's what we were talking about. When is us talking about this last Friday? You know, this window of opportunity that I don't know how much exists right now for the Astros, but certainly, you know, the Texans and Rockets might be looking at a 1 to 3 year window, you know, with this current iteration of players, you know, a nucleus, whatever you want to call it, with these, you know, star to superstar players on these teams. I mean, all three of these teams right now, within the next few months to the next 3 years, all of them or at least one of them could hoist a world championship trophy at some point in time. That's kind of where we're at. That's the good vibes that we're feeling.
The Suns analysis is a little off for me because with the Browns, the Texans gave up, quote, the star player. And got a truckload of draft picks, which they had to execute properly. And look, they didn't all hit, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Kenyon Green didn't hit. John Metchie didn't hit.
Kenyon Green turned into C.J. Gardner-Johnson, though. You got to connect the dots.
And that's just, you know, you have a GM that doesn't suck. You know, so, you know, Christian Harris hasn't fully panned out.
Mm-mm.
But that deal also gave them the ammunition to go up and get a third pick so they could take C.J. and Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
So whichever one you want to directly tie to that trade, the other one is a byproduct of that trade because it allowed them to take both guys.
Yeah, yeah. Look, on the surface, I can dig it, though.
For the Suns, the Rockets got the star and gave up very little in return. I would actually use the 1955 to 1960 Kansas City A's, how they used to operate as the Yankees farm team.
Yeah, yeah.
The Yankees would send washed-up players to Kansas City and get young, good players. They would take their own young players that they didn't have room for, send them to Kansas City for, like, established players, let them cut their teeth in Kansas City, and then bring them back to New York, like, a year later.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you telling those stories, man. That was something. Appreciate Derwin, man. If you'd like to be a part of the show and have a badass call like that, hit us up 713-572-4610. I thought Derwin was really going to say, like, you know, it's funny, you could make a starting lineup of all of the injured Astros, but he went for all the guys that they've lost in years past. So what about the guys they've lost, like, here in just the last couple of months? MLB Network was talking quite a bit about the Houston Astros yet again after a kind of a womp-womp weekend, though they took care of business yesterday, avoided the sweep by the M's, and in Arizona tonight. Are you, at this point in time, now down another, you know, all-star in Isak Paredes for who knows how long, are you as optimistic as MLB Network and particularly number one Astro fan over there, Robert Flores? We've got some audio. We'll discuss. We'll do it next. It's Area 45.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bajani and Creighton.
All right, welcome back in, Area 45. So, kind of a stinker of a weekend for the Astros. Yeah, they salvaged the game in Seattle, but it came at a cost. You know, Isak Paredes dealing with a hamstring strain. He's placed on the IL, left the game Saturday in the third inning. Lance McCullers Jr. had a stinker of an outing.
Again.
Again, yes, absolutely. And then, you know, Hunter Brown, his shortest outing of the season, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Four innings. I don't think he'd been pulled prior to that. Four innings, six hits, three earned runs. Struck out seven on 89 pitches. And it's the 89 pitches in four innings that you look at a little bit cross-eyed. It just kind of like, what's going on, man? This is three straight starts where Hunter Brown, for one, has not been who Hunter Brown was his first 14, 15 starts of the season. And this is now, you know, Lance McCullers not able to take advantage of plenty of days off. Had the All-Star break, had a week off between outings, and just hasn't been able to put it together. For whatever reason, and then Isak Paredes, who has been, if not the most valuable player for the Astros, PC, certainly the second most valuable player for the Astros, and I don't know who you'd put ahead of him, really, for the entirety of the season, he's been that dude for Houston. He's hit wherever they've needed him to hit in the lineup, and now, what, 2-3 weeks removed from him dealing with a little bit of a hamstring scare that only sidelined him for about 3 days. This one looked a little bit worse.
It looked a lot worse because yeah. He was one-legging it down the line.
Yeah. It's a little bit scary, man, because, you know, we had just asked the question about a week and a half ago or so, you know, in light of some other injuries that the Astros had been dealing with in the rotation, and you know the bullpen wearing down, and you don't know if you're going to get Chaz back. Well, now he's back, and you know Jake goes down. Are those injuries going to affect what the Astros have to get accomplished for a team that comes in tonight 15 games above 500? One point in time, about 2 weeks ago, you were 20 games above 500. But you're still right there in the thick of things for the top spot in the American League. Is this all going to affect how Dana Brown, Jim Crane operate over the course of the next 10 days? Because Isak Paredes is not going to be rectified. That situation's not going to be rectified in the next 10 days. Yordan Alvarez is probably not going to be rectified in the next 10 days. Add in Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, J.P. France, Spencer Arrighetti, could go on and on and on and on and on. Jake Myers, what they need to get accomplished at the trade deadline, their mindset had to have changed over the course of the last 48 hours and beyond.
A lot of things have to have changed for them. And according to Bob Nightingale, they have told everyone in baseball they're looking for a left-handed bat. And Dana's been on the "we need a left-handed bat" thing for a month.
Mm-hmm.
They recalled John Singleton. They put Brendan Rodgers on the 60-day after that collision. He's got a fractured sinus and a couple other injuries in his face.
Yeah.
So Brendan Rodgers probably done for at least September. Paredes' injury looked bad. Paredes looks like he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. They don't know yet because they couldn't get him on a flight back to Houston.
Yeah.
So he hasn't actually been checked out by Astros doctors today. That'll happen tomorrow.
All of these things are created equal, but correct me if I'm wrong. When Bregman went out, was his a quad or a hamstring? Wasn't it a hamstring in Boston this year? Or was it a quad? I can't remember.
I thought he had a quad.
You might. Okay, you have strained right quad. Hearing you say that reminded me of it. So, okay, quad.
But he missed 2 months.
A little bit different than a hamstring. Well, he came back 2 weeks earlier than anticipated. He came back after 7 weeks. And when you said 6 to 8 weeks right now with Isak, I'm thinking like, all right, come on. You know, there's a chance maybe he comes back a little early, but his is a hammy versus a quad. And this
you're
is
still
a
talking
player.
About, you know, it's the second time on the same injury.
Yeah.
You're talking about mid-September.
Yeah. Damn it.
You're in reality, it puts them in a really tough spot because you can't say that you know for a fact Yordan Alvarez is going to come back and be Yordan Alvarez. And, you know, they told us today he's been swinging 60-65% on soft toss.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well be hitting up a tee. It's soft toss. And he's not really swinging hard.
Right.
Yordan had said the area where he has the pain and the inflammation is a space where you don't usually have surgery. So he's trying not, he doesn't think they're going to have surgery, and he's hoping that he's not going to have to deal with it for a whole lot longer. But he's been dealing with it all year.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point is, well, we don't normally do this, become, all right, we got to do this. For a team that honored a hand specialist on June 1st, throwing out the first pitch, can we get the guy with the hand injury some freaking help here?
Yeah.
And this is one of the frustrations is, you know, even if Yordan hits, well, who's to say? Because he said, you know, the last one flare-up that he had, he hit fine. The next day, his hand was so swollen, he couldn't even grip the bat.
Yeah, yeah. That reading that really concerned me because it wasn't that long ago. And then, case in point, he's at 60-65% off a soft toss. He's not at 60-65% off of live pitching. It's soft toss. And I told you during the break, I mean, you know what? At this point, I'd slow play it to help with trying to figure anything out in the next 10 days with Yordan. If I get him back the second week of August, I'm good with that. But the Astros cannot operate like as if they're waiting on Yordan to get right.
No, they can't. Like, and they also have to have, you know, it's got to be in the back of their mind. They can't bring Yordan back in a month or whatnot and watch him go back on the IL 2 weeks later.
But that might be the case, PC.
It might be.
And if that is the case, maybe you got that left-handed bat.
That's why you can't push this and you have to operate like you're not going to have Yordan. You have to operate like
you're saying. You're saying like, you know, screw all this. Just operate now. Get it done.
Whoever my number one. What I'm saying is, you've got to operate at the trade deadline. Like you are not going to have Yordan Alvarez.
Right.
You've exactly. got to get an impact left-handed bat, mm-hmm. not you know another John Singleton.
Correct.
You got to get a bopper, and that bopper has to be able to play the field.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably left field.
Yeah.
Which is going to push Altuve back to second base, and you're going to live with that for the rest of the year because you can't get an impact left-handed bat at second base.
No, and I agree with you. And look, there'll still be some DH opportunities, I would assume, for Altuve as well. I don't know that they're still going to roll him out exclusively.
And this way, if you get that left-handed bat and that guy can play left field,
mm-hmm.
well, Yordan, assuming Yordan never comes back and he's Yordan again, he gets your DH at bats. Your imported bat plays left field. Altuve plays second base. Your lineup starts to look whole again.
Yeah.
You already have a hole at third base that you probably can't fill. I don't think they're going to look at Paredes as being out for the season. Because if they looked at him for being out for the season, you might have to go get a third baseman.
Yeah.
But I would expect that they think Pena will be back relatively soon. You know, Pena's taking BP. Pena's starting to ramp up. Pena might be back by the deadline. Let's say week and a half. Pena might be back or very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Mauricio Dubon's probably a third baseman. I don't think they trust Whitcomb enough to give him real at-bats because they've never shown Whitcomb enough to give him real at-bats. So I think Doobie becomes the third baseman. Zach Short goes back to AAA, and they've already sent Salazar back to AAA to bring up Whitcomb and Singleton.
Yeah.
So Singleton right now looks like he's going to be the left-handed bat off the bench and maybe get an occasional oddball start at DH, oddball start at first base.
I was going to say maybe first base, yeah.
With Walker being back and the fact that Walker has played better last month. Mm-hmm. The exit velos are much higher. His XBA is much higher. He's had a little more success here in the month of July. They value his defense at first base. But I could see that if Walker needs a day off, I could see them letting Singleton play first base.
Look, including a recent 0-for-12, like three straight 0-for-4 performances in as many games for Christian Walker this month, that dude's still hitting .327 with an .868 OPS, three dingers and 13 ribs. So with, 10 days remaining in this month, Christian, and going back to a place that, he's a pretty good ball player in Arizona tonight for the next three games. Maybe he can give the Astros a little bit of a spark offensively.
You're looking for Yiner to continue the momentum with the bat. And I think if Yiner still continues to be very inconsistent or struggle,
mm-hmm.
I think you got to get Caratini more times behind the plate. Caratini has the highest batting average in baseball in the month of July. He's like top three in RBI. He's top three in OPS. I know it's a hot streak, but still, you got to ride him while he's hot, especially for a team that five guys from the starting lineup opening day are on IL.
Yeah,
from the lineup. Three of your five starters in your rotation from opening day are on IL. Two of them lost for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like the amount of injuries the Astros have had to overcome. If somebody's hot, they friggin' play. Mm-hmm. That's why Taylor Trammell's playing left field tonight, because he's been freaking raking for the last couple of, it's really since
three more
last 3 days.
Night.
All he's done is smash baseballs.
Yeah.
So Taylor Trammell's going to play.
And
as
he's
long
good
as
in the field.
An excellent defensive player. And that was, we talk about that the Astros' focus in the offseason mm-hmm. was they were going to bring in guys who could go fetch it in the field. And we're strong defensive players. They were going to be pitching in defense, and that's what they bid. So you got Trammell in left, Chaz in center, Cam in right. That's a really strong defensive outfield.
Yeah. He's Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, Chris Santiago. We're Area 45. Talking about some deals moving and shaking. There's going to be a lot of heating up in the discussions over the next 10 days. We'll go through some names you need to know a little bit later on in the show in terms of guys that the Astros may be in on. Coming up next, though, we'll hit the 8 o'clock hour. Texans training camp starts in a couple of days, Wednesday. Today, they did a little moving and shaking. We'll fill you in on the news, adding a veteran to the mix, and finally, inking their second round pick. One of them, anyway. Now they're both inked. We'll do it next.